This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join trader Nick in the United States for the latest from the markets. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
We've had some fairly significant data this morning from your side of the pond around PPI and CPI, which actually makes encouraging reading, although I don't know how out of date this is, bearing in mind we've seen oil prices rise significantly over the last few days. But nonetheless, these figures are reasonably encouraging because they've shown a decline in inflation.
That's right. And inflation has been, of course, a huge concern of this market because we've seen the conflict in the Middle East go on for some time now. The Strait of Hormuz remained closed, then potentially open again, and then now potentially closed again. So we have all of this back and forth. And so market participants have been really closely watching these upcoming inflation reads for quite some time. The challenge, and we'll get to it in a moment, is that this is data in reference to the month of June. Now, June, we saw oil prices fall very sharply. I think actually I can give us a percentage here. Basically, in the month of June, we're looking at somewhere in the realm of peak to trough, a drop in of oil prices of almost 30%. So that is a meaningful decline in the gas price and fuel costs that are inputs to the global economy. So when we're looking at June data, it is true that we had significant inflation cool off on that side of things. What we saw that was actually encouraging for markets was the inflation prints did fall, not just because of cooler oil prices, but also because of prices falling in several places. Let's actually go through some of the statistics. We'll start with today's producer price index data, and then we can also talk about CPI, which came out yesterday, obviously. So producer price index minus food and energy was down. Prices rose, but they rose at a lesser pace than expected. Previously, they were at 4.6%. They did tick higher to 4.7%, but the market was expecting 5.2. So this was a much cooler print on core producer price index year over year. And when we look at the producer price index, including food and energy, the year over year number for June was 5.5%. And while that is, you know, a meaningful rise in prices, it's much less than previous, which was 6%, and the consensus estimates for today's number, which were 6.2%. Those are meaningfully cooler than expected inflation readings, according to the producer price index numbers. And of course, we also saw cooler than expected CPI yesterday, which, by the way, the year over year number for inflation yesterday, according to the consumer price index, was 3.5% versus 3.8% expected. So these are meaningfully better than expected numbers. And it does not seem that it is only due to the fall in oil prices. That said, we know how we got here. We know how inflation got back up into, you know, the mid threes, fours, et cetera. And when we're looking at PPI numbers up in the fives and sixes, well, how did it get there? Well, it got back up there because of a sudden shock to supply and oil in the Middle East. Now, what have we had happen in July's data? Well, more of that seems to be coming back. I would say that 2 weeks ago, we felt a lot more comfortable with what was going on in the Middle East. Oil prices were down as far as, you know, mid-60s almost. That's very, very low. We were back to pre-war levels when it comes to oil prices. Now, suddenly, and this is meaningful because, again, we're talking today a lot about June's inflation reported numbers. Well, in July, from the low point to the high point, and pretty much where we are right now, you're talking about somewhere around a 20% gain in the price of crude oil. And why that matters is because now, yes, June was good, but we're on edge about what July inflation could look like. That's why I think the markets have taken kind of an interesting perspective on this. You've had a lot of prices reacting, gold prices moving higher, the dollar index pulling back a little bit, yields moving a little bit lower. But there's a notable figure here or a notable trend across all of these markets. They've moved a little, but have not followed through substantially since getting these CPI and PPI numbers. what you might expect if you had really good inflation data and expectations for that to keep cooling would be follow through on a lot of these moves. You would expect gold to move higher and keep moving higher, or for example, yields to come down and keep trending down. But instead, what we've seen is a little bit of a move in yields, but on longer term, and this is where I also wanted to talk a little bit about today, is short-term government bond yields have moved much more meaningful than longer-term. Longer-term, the 30-year yield has barely moved since the CPI and PPI number came out. Arguably, this is because inflation expectations are still anchored higher because we don't have a resolution in the Middle East. Yes, things came in better than expected for June, and short-term, that keeps the Fed more likely to not rate hike, which we'll talk about in a moment. But longer term, we still have unresolved issues in the Middle East that could keep inflation structurally higher for over the longer stretch of time.
And interesting, Nick, watching the markets in terms of rate hike chances, we have seen a very turbulent market recently with even just a couple of days ago, many suggesting that we'll have a 50-50 chance of a rate hike this month. That seems to have dissipated over the last day or so. But nonetheless, many expect a hike, certainly in the autumn.
Yes, and things have really, to your point, the volatility in rates has partially been because of the conflict in the Middle East, but also has become such a narrative because it seems like the Fed that we now have is not the Fed that some people had anticipated. Kevin Warsh and team seem pretty committed to still fighting inflation. And so the market seems to be taking them fairly seriously with what you said a second ago. Going into this week, I think there was somewhere around a 45 to 50% chance that in the eyes of the bond market, according to the CME Group's FedWatch tool, that we would see a potential rate hike in the upcoming July 29th meeting. So that is this month. That number has greatly shifted to about a 88% chance at the time of recording this in the eyes of the bond market that we will actually keep rates steady, unchanged, but it still leaves a 12% chance that you could get a rate hike. What that maybe suggests more importantly is that September, the next meeting, is very, very live right now. We are looking at, I'm pulling up September 16th, 2026, the expected Fed meeting here. The possibilities of a rate hike are very clear here, and there are no cuts to be spoken of here in the prospect of it. We're looking at a 49.1% chance that we will see interest rates remain unchanged in September, a 45.5% chance that we will see one 25 basis point hike by that time, and a 5.4% chance that we will have seen a 50 basis point raise in interest rates, or two traditional hikes by that meeting. Now, finally, I also want to just jump ahead to the last meeting of the year. This is December 9th. Get this, we're talking about a 43.7% chance by that time we have seen at least one hike, with just a 25% chance that we will have not seen a rate hike. So probabilities shift not only to possible, but likely that we will have seen some kind of rate increase in the target rate here by end of year. I mean, this is a very different, I mean, I can't believe we're speaking of this, Johnny, because at the beginning of the year, we were talking about, are we going to get three rate cuts or four, right? It's been a crazy turnaround, to say the very least, and just goes to show how sensitive and volatile geopolitical stuff can be in markets.
And we know that President Trump was never much of a fan of Jerome Powell and wanted a change at the top of the Fed, but I haven't heard here any interventions from him over the last few days or weeks in terms of what he thinks of the Warsh era and whether he's trying to put anyone under pressure not to hike rates. But is there something that I'm missing here?
It's actually interesting you say that, because I think that the narrative here for Warsh has been a little bit more hawkish than investors, market participants had expected, and probably Trump too. But here's the thing. I think that he doesn't really necessarily have a choice. Now, Trump has spoken and said that he thinks he's going to do the right job in the end. That's pretty much as far as I'm aware of what he has said on the matter. I think obviously any president would like lower interest rates. It serves them well, makes them, you know, tend to look good because, again, lower borrowing rates are attractive to voters. That said, when it comes to Kevin Warsh, I think that he's sort of caught in a situation in which it's not fully up to him what they do with interest rates, right? It's a committee. And if he tries to vouch for inappropriate rate cuts, that would be a terrible, terrible look, I think, for the rest of his committee.
Although I'm not saying he would advocate a rate cut, but maybe be against a rate hike and keep everything steady. I mean, we've seen these figures earlier today, which are encouraging in terms of inflation, although somewhat out of date, perhaps, considering the recent oil price rises. But nonetheless, there's maybe a little bit of wriggle room for him, which, bearing in mind what you said a few minutes ago regarding less likelihood of a rate hike this month, but certainly coming in the autumn.
Yes, and I think maybe one thing to think about too is Kevin Warsh had kind of vouched for the importance of market tools and data to guide interest rates. And if we're going off of that, there is the distinct possibility of a hike being the conclusion. And I think it's honestly kind of a wise take. You're saying, I'm going to kind of keep an eye on what the bond market thinks we should do rather than trying to make some political, you know, position or statement about keeping rates. But again, nonetheless, we will see. Perhaps you're right. Maybe there is some room for a little bit more pushback from the administration there or the leadership there in the Fed. But we'll have to see. Time will tell.
Well, we'll talk again on Friday, Nick. And by then, we will know whether England have reached the World Cup final. We didn't mention this earlier on because, of course, since we last spoke, United States are well and truly out of it. It's all about England now, isn't it? Don't you think, Nick?
That's right. Remind me, what is the World Cup again?
Exactly. Nick, thank you very much. We'll speak again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.